The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And we've got a good one today. I'm pausing. We'll get back to CTV stuff a little bit later. Just because the drama around that has been wonderfully entertaining lately. But this is a letter, and I'm still under the weather. I know I sound like I've got a watermelon in my skull, which is not too far from the truth. But, so all the audiobooks and everything is on pause, and I hate it. It'll take me a bit to get back up to working order. But, I don't want to take off time from the show. So, and this is a really good, read, or really important read, honestly. This is the Blockchain Mining Council's response to a letter to the Environmental Protection Agency from 22 or 23 members of Congress. And unfortunately, the letter is absolutely, and this is coming from Guy Swan here, it is riddled with nonsense. It pains me to even read it. And you know, there's some sort of an element of, like, I don't know why, it's almost like, because someone is a Bitcoin proponent, It's like they believe that there's maybe this bias that they can't listen to real information and real data and like actual explanations from someone who is in Bitcoin, who is going to be the only person who actually knows how to answer these questions or what the quote unquote issue is. But somehow, because it's from within Bitcoin, that the only reliable sources of claims about Bitcoin come from people who are explicitly biased against Bitcoin, which just seems ridiculous. There seems to be, at least for a subset of people, and I don't know Michael Regan, I don't know anything about the director of the or the administrator of the EPA. I certainly hope that he's got a head on his shoulders and actually knows how to do some analysis, can actually break down and understand some of this stuff, because it certainly seems like a lot of our politicians have completely just lost the ability to do real research, if this letter is any indication. So I urge anyone who is listening to this, who comes at it from a anti-Bitcoin perspective, to actually pay attention, to actually consider that the real data and the actual people in the industry might have something to say that is worth listening to. There are 55 signatories to this response, which constitutes damn near every name I recognize in Bitcoin investing and mining. Like, it is a heck of a list of people. And there is part of me that is just kind of shocked at the amount of things that are so blatantly false. And this letter is very diplomatic about it, and forgive me, I can be bad at that sometimes, but just the blatantly false things that are repeated over and over and over again without any evidence, and in spite of abundant evidence to the contrary. There are two specifically in here that absolutely drive me crazy, but I'm getting way ahead of us. Let's just go ahead and hit the Bitcoin Mining Council's response, and then we'll do Guy's take after. Anybody who is going to be aggressively angry at me can cut it off after the read is over. Real quick, though, I just want to thank our sponsors for the show. That is the Bitbox Hardware Wallet and Swan Bitcoin. Swan Bitcoin is the place you're going to buy your Bitcoin. It's easy, it's simple, and they got Swan Private for people who are interested in getting involved but don't know where to start. Swan is the best resource. They will have everything that you need. Check them out at swanbitcoin.com/guy. And then when you are withdrawing, when you're doing your automatic withdrawal from Swan, you want to put it on your Bitbox. You want to get yourself a safe, simple-to-use, secure hardware wallet to keep your Bitcoin safe. The same reason you don't put your most precious valuables in a cardboard box and sit it in your driveway is the reason that you want to use a Bitbox, is the reason that you don't leave your your keys with a custodian or on a mobile wallet. Go to guysswan.com/bitbox and there is a discount for all of you listeners. Okay, with that, let's get into today's read. The Bitcoin Mining Council's response to the Huffman letter to the EPA. Dear Administrator Regan, this document is intended to respond to the letter dated April 20th, 2022, signed by Representative Huffman and 22 members of Congress, provided to your office for consideration, the quote, letter. Unfortunately, the letter is premised on several misperceptions about Bitcoin and digital asset mining that have previously been debunked or conflate Bitcoin mining with other industries. We have highlighted specific sections of text of the letter that we will address in turn below. 1. Quote, we have serious concerns regarding reports that Bitcoin mining facilities across the country are polluting communities and are having an outsized contribution to greenhouse gas emissions. Response. The statement above unfortunately confuses data centers with power generation facilities. Power generation facilities are not data centers. Data centers which contain miners are no different than data centers owned and operated by Amazon, Apple, Google, Meta, and Microsoft. A miner is merely industry terminology for a specialized computer server operating inside a data center. All data centers utilize electricity generated externally. Emissions are created at the power generation source upstream from the data centers. Digital asset miners simply purchase electricity from the grid, the same as Microsoft and other data center operators. Data centers engaged in the industrial-scale mining of digital assets do not emit CO2 or any other pollutants like other industrial facilities do. They are merely server farms engaged in computation. Aside from logistics packaging, there are no effluents or sources of waste that must be disposed on site. The inputs to a data center engaged in digital asset mining are electricity and mining computers, and the outputs are units of digital assets that exist on distributed ledgers around the world. Additionally, numerous digital asset miners also engage in high-performance compute, or HPC, which includes use cases as varied as machine learning model training, VFX and graphics rendering, pixel streaming, and batch processing of data. This work supports a wide variety of industries from animation and film studios to AR and VR firms, to weather modeling, financial market modeling, medical diagnostics, synthetic biology, pharmaceutical research and development, and data analytics. Global expenditure on arbitrary computation is growing dramatically given the multiple use cases of this activity. Some miners toggle between digital asset mining when their machines are idling and HPC workloads as they come in. In many cases, there is no distinction between high-energy data centers mining digital assets and those utilizing computational resources for conventional, non-digital asset mining computation. The rapid growth of digital asset mining as a buyer of electricity and computation has in effect served as a free market subsidy for a vast array of US-based HPC data centers. Several operators which support digital asset mining are also exploring other energy-intensive industrial applications, which have the same location-agnostic properties as digital assets. Even leaving aside HPC, these alternative industrial applications could include desalination, green hydrogen production, crucial to the renewable transition, and fertilizer production, among others. Demonizing digital asset miners discourages this significant homegrown industry, which is identifying stranded energy resources and building industrial energy campuses in remote areas. As far as, quote, outsized contributions are concerned, the best data we have suggests the opposite, that compared to other industrial consumers of energy, digital asset mining is notably sustainable and transparently so. According to the Bitcoin Mining Council's latest Q1 survey of miners, which consists of a bottom-up analysis of 50% of current hash rate, Bitcoin miners surveyed use 64.6% sustainable energy, defined as wind, solar, hydro, or nuclear. If you extend the analysis globally using conservative assumptions regarding energy mix, Bitcoin mining in the aggregate employs an estimated 58.4% sustainable energy. This is markedly more sustainable than the default U.S. energy mix at 21% sustainable, according to the EIA.
Digital asset mining is a fully digital process, location agnostic, meaning miners can operate from anywhere in the world, and data centers are able to target stranded or abundant renewable sources of energy. Moreover, it is well documented that digital asset miners' distinct interruptibility traits enables them to be uniquely suited to provide grid flexibility in the form of ancillary services to grid operators, which is a crucial component of a renewable transition. 2. Quote, as digital assets gain popularity, it is essential to understand the environmental risks and pollution associated with this industry. Response. This is deeply misleading. There are no pollutants, including CO2, released by digital asset mining. Bitcoin miners have no emissions whatsoever. Associated emissions are a function of electricity generation, which is a consequence of policy choices and economic realities shaping the nature of the electrical grid. Digital asset miners simply buy electricity that is made available to them on the open market, just the same as any industrial buyer. 3. Quote, we commend your recent decision denying extensions for the Ameren and Greenidge digital asset mining facilities to continue operating the coal ash ponds on their properties past a mandatory deadline. Response. It must be noted that the issue described above deals with the energy generation facility, not the data center containing the digital asset miners. If New York wishes to approve or deny Greenidge's application, it has nothing to do with digital asset mining. It is only related to energy generation. The letter misleadingly implies that the coal ash ponds are a consequence of Greenidge's current operation or cryptocurrency mining, which is false. Greenidge utilizes no coal in its current operation. The ponds are a vestige of the plant's prior operation, and Greenidge has committed to eliminating them by 2023. 4. Quote, efforts are currently underway to reopen closed gas and coal facilities to power the digital asset mining industry and undermine our battle to combat the climate crisis. Response. While we disagree with this statement, the statement above refers to two examples which comprise less than 2% of the Bitcoin network. In reality, the majority of digital asset miners are migrating away from fossil fuel-based electricity generation and increasingly targeting renewables. One example is Marathon Digital Holdings, one of the largest public miners in the U.S., which has declared their intention to shutter their coal-based Hardin facility in Montana and move to a fully sustainable model by year-end of 2022. Additionally, digital asset miners are allowing for the remediation of formerly polluting sites to be cleaned and turned into sources of economic activity. Stronghold's waste coal power generation facilities are explicitly sanctioned by the EPA and exist to mitigate an existing ecological hazard. Within the cohort of North American miners, the trend is towards renewable generation wherever possible. A number of miners exist which explicitly target sustainable energy in their corporate mandates. These include Argo Blockchain, Bitfarms, BitDigital, CleanSpark, Core Scientific, Iris Energy, Galaxy Digital, and TerraWolf, among others. In the U.S., the fastest-growing region for digital asset mining is West Texas, which is blessed with abundant renewables but has limited local load sources. ERCOT boasts the most abundant wind resources in the U.S. and boasts the highest wind and solar share of generation of any major RTO ISO. The interconnection queue of generation in ERCOT consists almost entirely of wind, solar, and batteries, and miners are eager anchor tenants of these renewable resources, monetizing them as they are waiting for interconnection or for transmission to be built to link the generation with load centers. Miners are also increasingly developing a mutualistic relationship with nuclear plant operators, as evidenced by TerraWolf's joint venture with Talon Energy, which operates a 2.6 gigawatt nuclear plant in Pennsylvania. Because nuclear plants cannot easily dispatch down their generation, having an uncorrelated additional buyer of energy aside from the grid is highly supportive of their economies. 5. Quote, a single Bitcoin transaction could power the average U.S. household for a month. Response. This is patently and provably false. Bitcoin transactions do not carry energy payloads. Bitcoin transactions cannot be redeemed for energy. Broadcasting a transaction requires no more energy than a tweet or a Google search. Bitcoin miners collect revenue based on the issuance of Bitcoin, currently 99% of their revenue mix, and fees associated with individual transactions, which can involve thousands of distinct separate transfers. Casually speaking, it is the high price of Bitcoin combined with its yearly new issuance, 328,000 Bitcoin this year, which induces miners to consume energy. By design, Bitcoin issuance is trailing off and will be reduced by 50% in 2 years' time. Over 90% of all Bitcoins that will ever exist have already been emitted. Even optimistic models, which see Bitcoin matching the value of gold, forecast Bitcoin's energy consumption to peak in the late 2020s and then decline. The quote, per transaction energy cost analysis is a deeply flawed way to reason about Bitcoin, since projecting future energy growth is not a function of transaction count, but instead a value of Bitcoin issuance, which is a function of price and supply growth, together with the fees users are willing to pay to transact. Bitcoin's transaction count is strictly limited by the protocol, and long-term scaling will come from a layered model, with many individual transfers being associated with a smaller number of final settlements. Already, the Lightning Network built atop Bitcoin allows an arbitrary number of transfers to be processed, while requiring only infrequent, on-chain settlement transactions. This layered model mirrors almost exactly how established payment systems work. Bitcoin processes a similar number of yearly transactions to the Fedwire settlement system, which settles trillions of dollars worth of value daily. It is therefore eminently plausible for Bitcoin to grow into a utility-scale settlement system without changing its parameters at all. Thus, even if the number of payments settling to Bitcoin increase by many orders of magnitude, that does not imply a commensurate increase in energy consumption. The bulk of the incentive for miners to consume energy will continue to be issuance-related for the foreseeable future, and so forecasting Bitcoin's energy cost requires assessing the interplay between a potentially rising unit price and a declining issuance rate. It therefore makes no sense to associate energy consumption with individual transactions, since Bitcoin's energy usage is not related to transactions, and Bitcoin can scale arbitrarily without increasing its transaction count or energy usage. 6. Quote, less energy-intensive cryptocurrency mining technologies, such as proof-of-stake, are available and have 99.99% lower energy demands than proof-of-work to validate transactions. Response. This is, once again, misleading. Proof-of-stake is not a mining technology. It is a technique to determine authority over a distributed ledger, but it does not achieve decentralized distribution. Moreover, it has a much more limited track record, is controlled by founders, has single points of failure, and it remains dubious as to whether proof-of-stake can effectively govern a global, apolitical monetary system, in a manner like proof-of-work. Given that proof-of-stake and proof-of-work are qualitatively different, it's misleading to refer to proof-of-stake as a more, quote, efficient form of proof-of-work, since it does not achieve the same thing. A bicycle uses less energy than a plane, but it achieves something different, and so cannot be considered more efficient. Similarly, proof-of-stake only pertains to maintaining a nominally decentralized consensus over the state of a ledger, although it remains to be seen whether proof-of-stake systems can remain meaningfully decentralized. Proof-of-stake does not, for instance, provide a way to achieve decentralized distribution of a digital asset, as proof-of-work does. This is part of the reason Ethereum, which intends to move to proof-of-stake, began with proof-of-work, to fairly distribute a significant fraction of its supply in an ongoing auction. Proof-of-work allows anyone globally to effectively, quote, purchase new units of digital assets using only electricity and computation, achieving a laudably widespread initial distribution without relying on a single authority figure to determine who gets what. Additionally, since proof-of-work is a perfectly competitive free market competition, miner economic margins tend to be slim at equilibrium, meaning that no entity has a disproportionate enduring advantage when it comes to creating new units of currency. For new monetary commodities like Bitcoin, this provable fairness of issuance is an important property in establishing credibility. A system in which the creator of Bitcoin simply doled out new units of the currency to their friends and associates would have no such legitimacy. More importantly, proof of stake should be understood as an industry term of art for a shareholder-governed financial consortium. In contemporary proof-of-stake systems, it is the largest holders of the tokens that ultimately determine the governance of the ledger, even if token holder governance is not explicitly encoded into the protocol. Digital asset users have a revealed preference for holding their coins with intermediaries like exchanges and custodians, and in practice, these intermediaries tend to accumulate the bulk of supply. More aggressive regulatory dynamics in major digital asset jurisdictions mean that barriers to entry for these custodial entities will increase, intensifying an already ongoing trend of consolidation. Thus, the risk of corporate capture is extreme in proof-of-stake systems. There are already clear instances of this happening, such as the takeover of proof-of-stake system Steam by entrepreneur Justin Sun, using the voting power of the largest exchanges. By partnering with large custodians, Sun was able to alter fundamental rules of the Steam digital asset, including confiscating the balances of users he disagreed with. Put simply, proof of stake transforms these novel financial systems into pure plutocracies, an outcome that is incompatible for tools that are meant to be decentralized, global, and completely void of political barriers to entry. Since Bitcoin was founded specifically to disempower intermediaries, it's imperative that it remain on proof of work. Given how contrary proof of stake would be to the objectives of Bitcoin, the prospects of transitioning Bitcoin to proof of stake are completely impractical. Non-crypto financial consortia are not considered, quote, energy efficient by virtue of their contrast to monetary commodities like Bitcoin and gold. Proof-of-stake digital assets might share a common ancestor with proof-of-work systems like Bitcoin, but they should be understood as wholly taxonomically different, with different objectives and capabilities. Thus, it is highly misleading to compare the energy demands. Systems like PayPal or Venmo also use very limited amounts of energy, but these are not more, quote, efficient than Bitcoin, because they provide users with completely different assurances. Proof-of-stake systems should be understood in the same way. 7. Quote, proof-of-work mining relies on massive server farms, which, in addition to contributing to significant greenhouse gas emissions, results in major electronic waste challenges due to the highly specialized and short-lived computing hardware needed to secure the network. Millions of devices quickly become obsolete, leading to large amounts of electronic waste. According to estimates by researchers, Bitcoin mining alone produces almost 30,700 tons of electronic waste every year. Response. While certain claims made in the letter are highly misleading, this one is straightforwardly false. The only citation the letter offers for this extravagant claim about e-waste is the DeVry and Stoll paper. It's worth mentioning that DeVry works for the Dutch Central Bank and has been widely criticized for his flawed and wildly over-aggressive estimates regarding Bitcoin's energy consumption. Prior to DigEconomist and employment at the Dutch Central Bank, DeVry promoted Dogecoin. His handle was DogeConomist. He is certainly not a neutral academic source. The DeVry and Stoll paper relies on an assumption of a 1.3-year period for ASIC depreciation. Based on this extremely short assumed depreciation period, the authors naively infer that the entire fleet of Bitcoin ASICs are periodically junked, deriving the shocking e-waste figure. However, this is a purely academic proposition, as there is no evidence anywhere of massive junkyards containing obsolete ASICs. To be clear, the claim that Bitcoin miners produce enormous quantities of e-waste is a purely academic fantasy. The DeVry-Stoll paper is trivially debunked by considering the simple evidence that even 7-year-old ASICs trade at a non-zero value on secondary marketplaces. hash rate from old vintages of ASICs like Bitmain S7s and S9s, released in 2015 and 2016 respectively, is empirically visible on the blockchain, proving that these units are still actively used. In the last year, S9s, now over 6 years old, have accounted for as much as 40% of the hash rate, proving that miners will keep using them as long as they are economically productive. If you consider public miner activity, industry standard depreciation periods are in the 3 to 5 year range. Analysts at Galaxy Digital call a 3 year depreciation period, quote, conservative. And when these units become economical, they are resold, not destroyed. Given the lingering economic value for even old ASICs, assuming a sufficiently cheap cost of power, it makes no economic sense whatsoever to destroy them. This is evident based on a cursory look at index data provided by ASIC brokers. The comically short 1.3-year depreciation period claimed by DeVry and Stoll is based entirely on the naive application of a generic law around transistor growth to a context where it does not apply. The law, known as Cumie's Law, states that the number of computations per kilowatt hour doubles every 1.57 years, using historical computation data from 1947 to 2010. This law is a general observation around computing efficiency growth and has nothing to do with digital asset mining. The creator of the law, Jonathan Cumie, has actually urged caution regarding academic criticism of Bitcoin mining and criticized wayward estimates of Bitcoin's energy use. Empirical data from the industry itself, which the authors did not consider, completely repudiates this depreciation assumption. Further, Bitcoin ASICs are almost entirely recyclable and contain no toxic or hard-to-recycle components, unlike conventional sources of e-waste like cell phones, which contain troublesome lithium-ion batteries and toxic chemicals in the display. The largest component of ASICs are aluminum heat sinks, followed by the cases, which both are eminently recyclable and resellable, even if the ASICs themselves do become obsolete. The Bitcoin e-waste claim is not based on evidence of huge quantities of miners in junkyards. These simply do not exist. It is a chimera derived from an idle academic fantasy which failed to incorporate any relevant industry data. We would challenge the author of the letter to identify any significant sites where Bitcoin e-waste has accumulated in vast quantities. They simply don't exist. 8. Quote, while some facilities claim to be cleaner by creating energy from coal refuse, these coal-fired power plants still emit hazardous air pollutants and leak toxic contaminants into our waterways. Cryptocurrency mining is poisoning our communities. Response. The letter again confuses cryptocurrency mining and power generation facilities. If there is an issue with power generation facilities, regulatory frameworks exist in which to contest and regulate those facilities. Power generation can be used to power any industry or provide energy back to electrical grids. In this instance, it is unfair to look at power generation facilities which are connected to data centers running less than 2% of the Bitcoin network and ascribe that activity to an entire industry. Conclusion. 1. There is a difference between a data center and a power generation facility. This difference is material and was completely ignored by the letter. 2. There is no meaningful difference between a digital asset mining facility and data centers run by Google, Apple, and Microsoft. Each is just a building in which electricity powers IT equipment to run computing workloads. Regulating what data centers allow their computers to do would be a massive shift in policy in the United States. 3. Some data centers run only blockchain workloads. Other data centers run none. Still, other data centers, including many owned by industry giants like Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure, run some of each. Censoring blockchain activity isn't practical. 4. The EPA and other regulatory and law enforcement agencies should require all power generation facilities to adhere to all applicable laws and regulations. 5. The EPA and other regulatory and law enforcement agencies should require all data center facilities which emit no pollutants, including CO2, to also adhere to all applicable laws and regulations. 6. If a data center is violating noise ordinances, their operators should be forced to comply with local and regional noise and nuisance ordinances. 7. If a data center is failing to dispose properly of obsolete circuit boards, whether the circuit boards contain chips that secure voice communications or chips that secure the Bitcoin blockchain is irrelevant. The data center operator should dispose of them in an environmentally responsible manner. And 8. If a data center is abiding by all laws and regulations, the content or type of computational workloads should be irrelevant. It is clear that education is required to ensure that public officials understand that the digital asset mining sector does not contribute to the environmental issues raised in the letter. It is imperative that elected officials in the United States recognize that Bitcoin and the innovation of proof of work is the most important financial, economic, and accounting innovation in the history of humanity. The undersigned individuals agree that by embracing the Bitcoin network and Bitcoin mining, the United States of America will be more innovative, economically resilient, and ultimately stronger into the future. Sincerely. And then below they have, it's like 55 signatories, their companies, who in their company is signing on their behalf, who they are in relation to the company. But I thought about going through it all, but that's a lot of names and titles that won't be super interesting. Let's take a moment right here. I want to get into a guy's take on this piece, but let's hit our sponsor real quick and we'll jump back in. If you are a high net worth individual looking to make your entry into the Bitcoin space, Swan Private is exactly what you're looking for. There is literally, with Swan Bitcoin, there's just no better, more knowledgeable team in the space, in my opinion. Swan Private, you can make a one-time purchase of up to $10 million. There are no annual limits. You get access to a dedicated Bitcoin expert by phone, text, and email. They will walk you through the entire process from zero to securely holding your own keys. And that's with an entire array of custody options that you want to explore. You can access Bitcoin from within a traditional IRA or 401k. There's full support for trust, business, and other custody accounts. And like I said, I cannot rave enough about the team that you are getting access to. These guys are the real deal. They have very possibly the best educational resources in the space these days. And of course, Swan Bitcoin in general is just the best place to stack. Automatically buy, automatically withdraw to your keys. I don't know how long I've been using it now, but I have no intention of ever cutting it off. I don't know why I would. You set it up once and you forget about it. It is stacking purified. You have got to check out Swan Bitcoin and Swan Private if you haven't. Go to swanbitcoin.com/guy. All the links and details will be available for you right there. Again, that is swanbitcoin.com/guy. So, responding to this piece, getting back into it here, it's kind of amazing, and I guess it's if you don't know, you don't know, but it's kind of shocking how much curtailed renewable energy there is out there, how much largely inaccessible renewable energy out there is out there. And as we watch the Bitcoin mining industry explicitly monetize that energy, and you know, that is the only reason that Bitcoin mining is able to boast greater than 60% renewable energy. It's because they don't have any competitors. Nobody else is buying up that energy. It is literally thrown in the trash. Two-thirds of our energy footprint, our energy generation, is thrown in the garbage. And almost half of what is thrown away could be viably utilized if there was an economical way to do so. But there simply hasn't been. And it's not to say that Bitcoin can soak up all of this stuff. There is so much lost for so many different reasons. There's multiple layers. It's amazing just digging into this, like with the Bitcoin mining grid. It's amazing how many moving parts there are to this, like the market and the, you know, the live bidding of energy resources, the curtailing, the ancillary services, like the fine-tuned services that allow you to change the frequency, and then the large load generators or loads and generators that get cut on and off in order to meet the broader expectations of what the day is going to be. I mean, like, it is an insanely complex puzzle, and it's amazing that Bitcoin mining can be such a valuable resource to this, and that we are watching it happen. It is one of the most renewable energy footprint industries out there because Bitcoin mining is location agnostic. It is time agnostic. You can cut it on and off at any time of day. And it is an ever-present source of demand that will pay you for your renewable energy. I honestly don't know how someone expects us to go fully solar and wind without something like this. And now there are other ways to utilize that energy to make, you know, other ancillary services. Obviously, there's batteries, there's all sorts of like interesting mechanisms to store energy, the pumping of water up a hill and, you know, putting it in a reservoir and then running it back down later when you need the energy. There's a lot of different ways that you can do this, but almost none of them have the time, demand, and location granularity that Bitcoin mining does. Like, I don't know of a single other thing that can profitably use the flared methane gas. And there is right now an exploding business opportunity that is popping up all over the place. ExxonMobil is doing this right now. And there are whole countries that are actually looking at this as a viable alternative to actually stop flaring methane, which is like, what, 50 times the greenhouse gas is CO2? I literally saw something the other day about putting some apparatus on like all the cows' faces so they don't burp methane into the air. And I'm like, literally, if you just let Bitcoin miners cap all of the flared methane, you'd do like 1,000, what are we talking about? Like, what kind of impractical nonsense of a solution is that? The fact that somebody took the time to design that, thinking that this was actually going to make a meaningful difference, is a little bit mind-blowing to me. I mean, it's a little bit off topic from this, but still, it's incredible. And there is enough flared methane right now to actually more than power the entire Bitcoin network. Like, and then some, actually. Like, you could double, I think even triple, the entire quote-unquote energy consumption of the Bitcoin network. You can make Bitcoin 3 times as secure and not actually be contributing 1 iota of excess greenhouse gas. In fact, exactly the opposite. You would be making a huge dent toward fewer greenhouse gases being emitted. Like, the reason Exxon is doing this is to meet their greenhouse gas regulatory requirements. If you're actually looking at this, it's astonishing what a boon Bitcoin could be to exactly this problem. And yet politicians who claim to be in favor of actually solving this problem are, as they often do, slitting their own wrists out of pure ignorance. Like I said, I'm not very diplomatic. I get ranty about this stuff. But Jesus, Bitcoin mining does not produce CO2. There is no exhaust to Bitcoin mining. It is incredible how difficult it is to get that through to people. The only output of Bitcoin mining is the integrity of the Bitcoin system. That is the whole point of proof of work. Decentralized, provable integrity. And damn it, if there is something that we need more desperately in this day and age, it's financial integrity. And you know, there's a lot of super misleading and just generally ignorant things in the letter. And to some degree, it's expected. It has to be. It's not like all the politicians or the representatives can be experts on everything. And in fact, usually the opposite is true, particularly if they're career politicians. But that's the whole point in which the government shouldn't be in charge of that much. Because the more Congress is actually in charge of making happen, of controlling, essentially, the more they are necessarily ignorant of all of the decisions they are making. It does not scale. And their method of trying to scale it is to get special interest, which just makes the ability to abuse the system so freaking accessible. But there are some degrees of ignorance that are just hard to accept. A single Bitcoin transaction could power the average US household for a month. It's hard to illustrate to someone who doesn't understand how Bitcoin works how, I'm sorry, idiotic that statement is. But Bitcoin mining has nothing to do with Bitcoin transactions. Bitcoin mining provides the security and the integrity of the consensus, of the history of the Bitcoin ledger. They mention the Lightning Network, but there's a million different ways to scale a single transaction into tens of thousands, millions of payments. But I myself use the Lightning Network, which they explicitly bring up in the response to this. And with a back of the napkin math, I'm doing probably like 100-to-1 transactions on Lightning versus on chain. And in a literal sense, there's no fundamental cap on what that degree of scaling could be. And Lightning has literally just gotten started. We are only scratching the surface of this network right now. But not even that really has anything to do with why this statement is so wrong. Not only can Bitcoin scale to tens of thousands of transactions per each quote-unquote Bitcoin transaction, which makes this entire point moot, even if it was logically accurate. But Bitcoin transactions and its energy use have absolutely nothing to do with each other. The Bitcoin energy use, A, has to do with the issuance rate and the value, but it's about protecting the value of the network. The best analogy that I think is literally the most accurate way to think about it of something that is concrete in the real world is comparing the amount of concrete and steel you have in a safe to the number of times you open it up and take money out of it. Like if you have like a giant bank vault with, you know, a bunch of security deposit boxes that if a whole bunch of people don't, you know, let's say it's only once a month that somebody goes in and gets something out of their security deposit box. Are we literally measuring that as the amount, the you know, 3,000 pounds of steel and concrete per transaction? Is the steel and concrete useless if nobody went in and got something out of their security deposit box? Of course not. But that's because nobody is so stupid as to not understand what the fucking purpose of a bank vault is. It is to keep the value safe. That is also what Bitcoin mining does for the Bitcoin network. It protects the network from anyone who would seek to cheat it. And they do a really good job in this one explaining why proof of stake is not an alternative. I kind of like the analogy of like a bicycle is more energy efficient than an airplane, but a bicycle is not an alternative to an airplane. Proof of stake is literally just a fancy word for the rich control it. Like, I don't know of a simpler way to explain this, and that is not the case at all in Bitcoin. But just because you have a million Bitcoin, it makes you absolutely no more relevant to the rules or influence over the network than anybody else. Your node is still just your node. It is one node on the network. You validate the rules for yourself. You do not have influence over somebody else's rules that they are validating, period. The amount of wealth you have is irrelevant. While proof of work, the design of it and the characteristics of proof of work are that even if you have a significant amount of hashing power, the hash is irreversible and single use, which is not the case for proof of stake. You can produce 1,000 additional or adversarial chains with the same proof of stake. So you cannot use proof of work on multiple versions of the chain. It is single use, irreversible, which means that you have the full investment towards one conception of the truth, and you have to compete against all other players in the world using proof of work. It's also perfectly competitive. You have no idea where anyone may be or about anybody else coming online at any time to compete with you. All they need is some sort of data connection, a very small one, and you're open to completely losing your share of the hash rate. You don't have any outsized control. You can't tell anybody that they can't mine to compete with you. And it's also provably neutral. That is literally what makes it proof of work. Going back to the safe example, proof of work is like a safe that literally can't be opened by anybody. There's no bank, there's no door, there's no owner. The proof of work is the proof that none of this stuff exists. It's a global, distributed digital vault where anybody can store their value, and all they have to do is check the proof of work and the validation, and know that their value is secured. And that's regardless whether they make a billion payments this year or absolutely none. Proof of stake has none of these characteristics. And then the thing that it's so funny that two incredibly often cited papers about from Bitcoin detractors, people who are criticizing Bitcoin, are possibly the two worst papers ever written about Bitcoin. And that is saying something. As somebody who has read a lot about Bitcoin, they have the facade of academia and zero substance of actual value. The DeVry Stoll paper is just nonsense. It is not, it's completely invented out of thin air. I guarantee you, the best way to put it is just what the council said in this letter. Find it. Find the waste. Go somewhere, point at it, and show it to me. And they say that even like S7s and S9s are still on market, and you can sell them for like, somebody said in like a thread or whatever, that you can sell them for like $100. I was like, no, you can sell them for like $400 or $500. There's still substantial demand for those. As someone who is trying to get some, I feel like I'm a pretty good resource on this. And what's funny is that the authors here talk about like how as long as it's economically productive, that's not the case. It doesn't have to be economically productive as a Bitcoin miner. The reason I want my Bitcoin miners is because it is economically, both economically and just straight from an energy standpoint, more efficient for me to heat my basement with Bitcoin miners than it is to buy a heating element. I am literally fully intending on using it at a net loss because I'm using it for heat. I'm not using it for mining Bitcoin, even though obviously I also want to mine Bitcoin with it. But I could use these things for as long as they last, as long as it go for 10 years. I don't really care if I'm just using it to heat my basement. It doesn't really matter if it's 90% a loss if I'm heating my basement. As these miners themselves become commoditized, I'm seeing this all the time. There's a video I saw just the other day of someone using it to heat a greenhouse. There's actually a company that is doing that for vertical farming. They're keeping their greenhouses heated in the cold in the winter months, and that this diminishing of the cost actually reduces the benefit of the scalable corporate entities to compete. So it allows the smaller entities to actually compete with them because of the, again, this is going back to the idea of Bitcoin being able to use renewable energy, being able to like access on a basically at a granular level and at a huge level, like the ability to scale from something as small as a single S9 or S7, one tiny device, and actually be economically profitable and also to scale to massive data centers means that, and with something particularly as like the context of ancillary services and something being able to take on renewable energy sources that do not yet have a buyer and are looking to be added to something like the ERCOT grid, I literally don't know of a single thing with that degree of flexibility that could cap a single oil driller's methane gas or to use up all of the energy of a hydro plant that doesn't even have transmission lines to consumers yet. And better yet, can show up in a matter of days, plop down a bunch of shipping containers and start running as soon as they are needed. Seriously, point to me something else that can pull that off. I would be interested to read about that thing as well as Bitcoin mining.
Then the other one I was referring to is the Mora et al. Paper, which is hilarious because it estimates the amount of the energy impact and the amount of energy it would use and the consequences on the climate. And it's so funny hearing the people who were actually in charge and like around this thing, and that this wasn't even an academic paper. The paper was actually more an exercise in writing an academic paper than it had anything to do about Bitcoin or energy consumption or mining. It was literally a bunch of undergraduates doing a project. When I heard that conversation, I just laughed. And it makes perfect sense too, because the claims are so, I mean, just frankly stupid. It's almost, it's increasingly difficult for me to believe that actual U.S. congressmen and women and representatives repeat some of the things in that paper that are so painful. Like, I would literally be embarrassed. Like, I would delete all the tweets if I said some of the dumb crap that that paper says. I would not wish to have a public record of that. But anyway, I'm kind of shitting on the whole process here. The letter, it's a painful letter. Again, I hope Michael Regan reads and actually considers the reality of this situation. It's still kind of fascinating to think that people don't realize Bitcoin mining does not produce any CO2. There is no waste. And, you know, even if the e-waste thing was true, that we like threw away all our miners after a year and a half, which is obviously patently false. But even if that was true, you really couldn't ask for a better product to have to throw away, because the whole thing really is recyclable. Like, there's nothing to it. There's no batteries. Like, all of the problems with e-waste are almost entirely like the toxic chemicals in the batteries. Like, the batteries are the big problem. They're horrible for the environment. And we go through cell phones and smartphones like nobody's business. And we don't have a good way of recycling these things. After the half-life on the batteries go, people just throw them away. And you're not supposed to do that with batteries, but it's too it's too difficult. It's too small of a thing. It's too consumer-centric. Nobody's going to do that. But nobody's going to throw away good miners. Even if they're entirely decommissioned and there's nothing else you can do with them, that's worth a lot in recycling. In fact, I think the only time I have seen a whole bunch of miners just destroyed and thrown away was with the Chinese government ban. They went and confiscated a bunch of miners and then rolled over them with steamrollers. The only person who has actually caused any problem in this regard appears to be the government. So, anyway, we'll close that out here. This was really good, thoughtful, factual response. They were much more diplomatic than my guys take. And I hope it's heated. Because, you know, they're not going to do anything to Bitcoin. I'm not, like, it doesn't worry me about Bitcoin. It honestly worries me about the disaster of our environmental policies if we don't have something like this. I honestly think the EPA is going to go the way of the Department of Education if they don't actually embrace this and realize that this is an innovation that can actually be very useful to them. They're going to be an institution that just soaks up billions and billions of dollars and does nothing but make things worse, and they're not even going to know why. And this is all to completely ignore the huge monetary incentives here. The fact that this is a breakthrough innovation, that this can lead to incredible integrity and reliability in the monetary foundations on a global scale, and that just like we have an open, decentralized communications network that has no central point of failure, that has enabled so much innovation, so much prosperity, so much growth, like the internet, that we could do this exact same thing for money, except at the exact same time, add in the fact that it's perfectly auditable, perfectly secure, and adversarially built. If the United States does not embrace, as somebody who has been a, you know, flag-waving Republican in my past, like, if the United States does not embrace that, the United States is screwed.
Like, I don't know how else to put it. And I'm not being hyperbolic. Like, they're absolutely screwed. Imagine if you banned Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon. Imagine. And while you do that, I'll catch you on the next Bitcoin Audible. Thanks to Swan Bitcoin, to Bitbox, to my wonderful patrons. And until next time, guys, take it easy.
You have been listening to Bitcoin Audible, a 111 production.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.